Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Good morning to you. My name is Lynette. Hi there. Dr. Mixon is off this week. In fact, he is off for the next couple of weeks for holidays with his family. He's been telling us about this the last couple of months. Now he's gone. We won't see him until the beginning of next year. However, we have wonderful doctors in the studio to take his place. Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland on the show today. Welcome, doctors.
Hey, thank you, Lynette. Yes. Thank you. Good to be here with you.
Good, good. And how is the holiday going so far? We've got 11 Great. Days till
Who's
Christmas.
I know. Yeah, it's just around the corner. Every year, I think it comes by faster and faster. Mm-hmm. But things are going great. I don't think the stress has dawned on me yet, which
yes,
is fine.
Good.
It will. It
we'll
will.
Take it,
it's
yeah.
okay. I'm not, you know.
Still time.
Yeah. The tree's not up yet, but.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Is your tree up, Dr. Pentland?
Not yet. No, I'm just going to get a little tree, I think, this year just for the. You know, coffee table kind of thing.
There you go.
Okay.
I have mine up. The lights are on. No decorations yet. I'm waiting to do that with my hubby tomorrow.
Nice.
I hope. Or
nice.
We may put it off another
nice.
Week, and that's okay.
Yeah. And then I usually like to leave it on a little bit longer because it
yes.
takes so long to put it all together.
Isn't that what St. Patrick's Day is for?
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Or, well, you know, I heard somebody say they just didn't take it down last year.
Just leave it up. I had a neighbor that did that, and then she just kind of added in Valentine's. Ornaments and March and 4th of July ornaments and started
me.
Over. Yeah. Jeannie.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
Jeannie.
Not that bad, but that's okay. And then yesterday at the office, we had our Christmas lunch.
Oh,
and
fun.
That was nice.
Staying
a holiday lunch and mm-hmm. and Secret Santa
yes.
gifts, which
oh,
everybody
boy.
Enjoyed. Yeah.
That's always fun. The Secret
yeah.
Santa. We have that at my office as well, and mine knows me well, and my whimsical
well.
Heart, yes, it's like, uh-huh. oh my goodness, you totally got me. So very fun. We're hoping that the holiday season for you is going well. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. We are live in the studio today. So before we have our recorded shows next week, which you won't want to miss, lots of good information. However, you won't be able to call in. So today is the day with Dr. Umat and Dr. Pentland. Your questions about your health as you're aging and questions and concerns about maybe a diagnosis of you or a loved one. So you can give us a call. I'm going to give you that number. Some folks have already said, hey, put me in the call queue. Here it is, 206-421-5757. Doctors, you want to dive right in with, let's see, whoops, I lost my place here. There we go. Dive right in. I know that, Dr. Umat, you have an email response from Dr. Mixon about
That's right.
a call that we received last week. You want to uh-huh. go with that?
I want to start. You want me to start? I can do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Dr. Mixon sent me an email last night, and he wanted me to make sure that I said this on air. So what I'll do is I'll just read it.
Okay.
Apparently, somebody called on behalf of their wife, and their wife has been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. Mm. And so I don't know the question last week, but I'll read the response. Over the course of the last 15 years, it has become clear through many peer-reviewed double-blind studies that estrogen reduces the risk of colorectal cancer by about 40%. Although one peer-reviewed study involved 2,648 patients with colorectal cancer showed that the use of estrogen reduced the risk of cancer by 63%. So, you know, significant variation. How this happens, I really don't know. Mm. But we do know that in women in postmenopausal age that are on estrogen replacement have a less risk for developing colorectal cancer. He goes on to say that the combination of estrogen and progesterone gives even greater protection against colorectal cancer in women in most studies. So the combination of the two. You remember sometimes we put women only on estrogen and sometimes we put them on combination.
Oh,
so
yes.
He's saying that the combination is better than one or, alone. The estrogen beta receptor appears to increase the incidence of cell death in colorectal cancer cells. What is less clear is the effect of estrogen and progesterone on the therapy of colorectal cancer. We know that women who do not yet have a colorectal cancer greatly benefit by estrogen and progesterone therapies. What is less certain is whether or not estrogen and or progesterone combinations enhance the survival of women who already have colorectal cancer. The number of women whom this modality has been compared to women not using estrogen is fairly small, which is why a definitive answer is not yet found in the literature. However, many researchers do believe that estrogen and progesterone therapy probably enhance the effectiveness of chemotherapy for this tumor. So the question I guess he's answering is, if you are on estrogen and progesterone, should you continue when you're diagnosed with colorectal cancer and will it benefit or not? And the answer is we are not sure, but maybe yes. And then he goes on to say that since the mechanism by which estrogen protects against colon cancer is to increase the rate of apoptosis, which is spontaneous cell death of the tumor, the expectation that estrogen and progesterone would enhance rather than interfere with the chemotherapy for colorectal cancer is rational. I just wish I had some really good peer-reviewed studies to prove it. On the other hand, if it were my wife with colorectal cancer, I would definitely continue her estrogen and progesterone therapies. As often happens in medicine, we don't always have a definitive answer and must make judgments on the best currently available information. This is one of those cases. So estrogen has far-reaching effects on a woman throughout her body. And the reason is she has estrogen receptors everywhere. And so how it helps with colorectal cancer risk reduction is not really clear. He mentioned cell death and apoptosis over here, but there must be other things, and we don't know that, but it does help that. Should you continue your hormone replacement therapy if you are diagnosed? He's saying probably yes rather than no. So very good information. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. And I hope the caller who called in last week is listening so you can get this feedback.
Very good. Yes. Thank you so much for that. And Dr. Pentland, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. You're
Thank
one of
you.
Our regular doctors. We love that.
Happy to be here.
Yes. And we like to call you our gut specialist because you have so much information. And of course, that's what you specialized when we nabbed you and brought you to the clinic. And also, you work with our IV therapies, which is something that I think a lot of people are starting to hear about. It's like such a good thing. Maybe you can give us a little overview on what IV therapies can do for us, and then explain this wonderful flyer that I have on my desk with all sorts of things that could be very beneficial this holiday season.
Right. So the promotion we're having right now during the holidays, Fuel Your Festivities, Boost of Energy and Shine this holiday season with
it's not with
IV
sugar.
Therapy.
Yeah, right. Not,
that doesn't mean extra cake or whatever. So IV therapy is really just the introduction of nutritious substances, ingredients directly into the bloodstream instead of taking it orally where it can be, has to be, you know, sort of processed and diluted, go through the liver. And this is a much more direct route, usually with more potent benefits, right? So we've come up with four different sort of combinations of the ingredients that we offer. And for the season, you know, being sort of like a flu season, we have things that are boosting the immune system. People tend to be stressed and have lower energy. We have NAD therapy for that. Festive fuel is what one of them is called, with the Myers and the taurine, which helps with helps with cardiovascular, liver, and kidney function. And then if you want all of those, the Cadillac, that one's called Sleigh Bell Surge.
Okay.
And that's got the Myers, the glutathione, the taurine, and the vitamin C, right? So, those are our promotions right now. So if you feel like the holidays are, a little bit overwhelming, come in and have an IV.
Good. And how
overwhelming?
Never. Overwhelming. No. Now, Dr. Pentland, about how long does this take to for us to see an effect typically with the folks that you've worked with?
Yeah, so it depends.
Immediate?
Yes. It goes right into the bloodstream, right?
Okay.
So you use the nutrients almost immediately.
You get them immediately.
Right. Okay. And so, things like NAD, as soon as it starts going in, people start, I'm feeling something, right? And glutathione as well, I noticed when I got the NAD, I slept really well that night. It's like a vacation for your cells, I say. People ask, how often should I do this? I say, how often do you need to take a vacation? Well, the cells, they probably need a vacation a little bit more often than we do, but because they're always bombarded with things like free radicals, oxidative stress, and that's kind
food.
Of... food, yes, our normal
life,
food, bacteria,
work, stress,
toxins,
yeah.
and things like that they have to deal with. And that's their day-to-day cubicle job, right? So they need a vacation too. And getting things like NAD and glutathione are their vacation, give them a break.
Okay, well, we could fast too, and that would give them a break
that's
as well.
True,
that's
yes.
true.
But who wants to do that?
So about how often, doctor, what are you thinking?
Well, so it depends on how, if you have if you have a significant health concern like diabetes, significant cardiovascular risk factors, I would probably recommend more often. But for most patients, once a month, for 3 to 6 months, depending on, how often you want to get a vacation.
Very good. So my doctor is saying, what I'm hearing is my doctor says I need a vacation once a month for the next 3 to 4 months. Is that,
Well, ask him if he'll sign off on that for your boss.
Never mind.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I'm a firm believer in IV therapies. I think they provide valuable nutrients right where they're needed, because sometimes even if we take them orally, we just don't absorb enough. What you need, how frequently you need it, depends on where you are. I mean, if you're in Vegas, as some of my team is right now, you're in the casinos and you're surrounded by smoke and dust and all you're drinking is alcohol, well, maybe you'll need a little bit more.
Okay.
If you're sick and you're dehydrated and you have nausea and vomiting and diarrhea, you'll need more frequently. But if you're just doing something for maintenance, then definitely monthly treatments. And again, also logistically, is it easy to get to a place more frequently than that or not? So lots of thoughts into consideration, but definitely find out which one is the right one for you.
Okay. I'm thinking, Dr. Pentland, that one of these Saturdays, and this is just my idea, that all three, the two doctors and myself, you should administer these to us while we're doing the radio show. That might be kind of a fun... fun thing to show. Hey, this is what you can do, and this is how we do it, and it's not scary.
We'll just talk faster and be more intelligent, and can show the results.
There you go. All right. The music means we're taking a quick break. We will be back with more of your Leading Edge Medicine and some phone calls. And here is that number, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. Oh, I hope you're enjoying it.
And who sings that one, Lynette?
It's the most Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
And I've been hearing that Mariah Carey song, "The Gift That Keeps on Giving."
All I want for Christmas. And then I hope
to my husband, if you're listening.
I know that we'll probably play Brenda Lee's "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree."
Oh, yeah. That one.
Okay. Congratulations to Brenda Lee. She's 80 years old now.
Wow.
And that song she recorded when she was only 13 years old.
Oh, my
old.
Goodness.
And I found out yesterday that Spotify recognized her for 1 billion downloads
as of
yesterday.
Gosh.
So they awarded her. Look at that.
That's
and
amazing.
She's 80 and she
Congratulations.
Is living
that is such
life.
An accomplishment.
Well, yes. So,
good for her.
Congratulations to Brenda Lee. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take some phone calls. Let me give that number so that you can get into the call queue. There's time for you. 206-421-5757. Right now, we're headed to Vashon Island. We have Shelley on the line. Hi, Shelley.
All right. Hello, Shelley.
Hi there. I've got a question about hormones. The estrogen patch. Is that an adequate patch? And I also have one about resveratrol.
Yeah. So the bioidentical estradiol patches on the market are adequate, yes. They're better than nothing. They do not allow you to vary the dose. And sometimes with the transdermal creams, we do change the dose. So with the patches, you put the patch on a couple of times in a week or whatever your schedule is. They do deliver the medication effectively, and so if you have your serum levels checked, you will find that you're getting adequate absorption. Just make sure that they are the bioidentical estradiol. I think the newer ones all are. But yes, they will do the job. The only thing is it's not with progesterone or testosterone. So all you're getting is just the estrogen, okay? So just as long as you know that.
Is that appropriate without the progesterone?
And that's a very good question. And in our eyes, the answer to that is simply no, it's not, simply because progesterone provides many benefits. And if you have your uterus, then you definitely need it. What they say is that if you don't have your uterus, you don't need progesterone. I feel that you still need it because progesterone is a GABA mimetic. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. It helps improve sleep quality. It reduces anxiety. And so we do like to use it. I use it personally as well, and I find it very helpful. So there are other indications for progesterone use as well, but balancing the two hormones is very important. And then let's not forget about testosterone. And again, women sometimes get alarmed when they hear about testosterone. And then some women that are aware know of its benefits. The doses are completely different in men and women, but men and women have the same hormones. The amounts are very different, but they have the receptors for the hormones in their body. And then those hormones are brain hormones and they perform function. Testosterone helps you build muscle mass. It helps maintain bone health. It is important for your self-confidence and for your feeling of well-being. And when it is adequately balanced with your testosterone and your progesterone levels, you just feel differently. It just gives you that feeling like, I'll be okay. And then you see the results when you work out. Remember, you're losing muscle as you're getting older. Our goal is to help you maintain your muscle so you have endurance, you have stamina, you can stand, you can hold, you can stand up yourself. And we want that for you, and we don't want you to lose that muscle. And in order for that to be successful, protein alone in your diet is not going to do it. You need the hormone to help you succeed, especially if you are good with your exercise program, you want to see the results. So we do the in-body, we look at what's happening to muscle, we show you where you're at, and we look for results. And I always look for where's your testosterone, what happened to muscle mass, every single visit without fail. Okay?
So does that? So the patch doesn't give you enough of the testosterone then?
It does not. So testosterone is higher up in the cascade of hormones. testosterone breaks down into estrogen, but the opposite does not happen. And so, yeah, it does not give you the other hormones. So sometimes, you know, what we think about is, oh, women and estrogen, and we equate the two and we go, okay, if we give a woman adequate amount of estrogen, we will cover our bases and she should be fine. And that is an incomplete answer. It's wrong because she needs other things. And then, well, it's better than doing nothing. I'll say that. But it's incomplete, especially if she has her uterus. Then you really have to be very careful. And then there are other symptoms she has which are not being addressed with just estrogen alone. Okay? But yeah, we know very clearly that they do help. Estrogen helps reduce your risk for cognitive decline. It helps with verbal fluency. If given at the right time in menopause, it'll help reduce your risk for developing breast cancer. It helps reduce risk for colorectal cancer. It helps with heart health. It helps reduce risk for osteopenia and osteoporosis, so bone health. It helps with skin, hair, eyes, and vision health. So there are lots and lots of advantages of using estrogen alone. It's incomplete, though, however, to use it just by itself without paying attention to everything else that it affects in that hormone. It does not exist in isolation. It comes from other hormones. It breaks down into other hormones. So if you address the whole physiology, then you don't cause problems. Too much estrogen can cause breast tenderness. It can cause sleep impairment. It can cause problems in the uterus if you have your uterus. So if you balance it with progesterone, you avoid the side effects and you help with the benefits. So it balances in normal physiology too. Women balance their hormones cyclically normally. So what we're trying to do in postmenopause is give the, not the cycle, but try to give enough of the other hormones as well so that they have the advantage of the other hormones. Every woman has testosterone in her body. It is there for a purpose. It does decrease when you get older. It's already lower than a man, but it's decreasing. But as it is decreasing, that function is going away. She's becoming weaker. She's more frail. Her bones are weaker and her self-confidence is gone and she's not able or capable of building muscle. So if she needs to do that to live, then yes, she absolutely needs that. We have to avoid sarcopenia. We have to avoid frailty in our women. And you need the balance of these hormones to do that.
So if you got extra testosterone, how much would you ask for?
That depends upon your levels. That's why we measure. And every woman is very unique and individual. We measure that frequently in our clinic, every 3 months, in fact, for everybody. We use a transdermal cream and we adjust the doses. I have some women that need much higher amounts and then I have some others that literally a drop is enough for them.
And where is the cream applied?
We apply it to their skin, usually behind their knees.
Behind what?
Behind the knees.
Oh, I see. Okay. I missed that part. Okay, so I have a question about resveratrol. You're adding quercetin with that. Is there a way a person can add a dab of that on a daily basis? And can you take more than 1,000 milligrams once in a while as a booster?
Resveratrol, are you talking, when you say dab, are you talking about transdermal resveratrol? Are you talking about cream resveratrol?
No. I'm talking about resveratrol tablets.
Okay. Yeah. Resveratrol is very important, actually. And the ideal dose, Dr. Pentland, what's the ideal dose for resveratrol? I think ours
in the,
are...
a few hundred milligrams. Typically.
Yeah, but it's not 1,000 milligram, is it?
No, I don't think ours is 1,000. I think it's a bit less than that, yeah.
Well, so...
Well, it used to be, a couple of years ago, I heard Mixon say that, I can't remember, one of the broadcasters that used to be on, that they were taking 1,000 milligrams morning and night.
Well, no, that's a little too much. We used to have our previous tablets, our previous capsules used to be resveratrol 200 milligrams. And then Dr. Mixon read some research and data that suggested that the adequate dose would be about 1,000 milligrams a day. So he increased the strength of resveratrol, and they're now 350 milligrams per capsule. And I think he has said on air that he uses three capsules in a day. So there is an advantage to them. As a general rule, I have my patients use two of those. My patients are on 700. They take one capsule in the morning and one at night. If there are certain risk factors that I'm treating for them, then I may give them a little bit more, depending upon what I'm treating for them. And then if they are on some other things like our relief factor, they're also getting 70 milligrams in the relief factor. So I do take that into consideration. Okay. If you want to hang on, we can come back and talk a little bit more about this.
All right, Shelley, you hang on the line. We will be back with more callers. We have Dan and Kate, as well as you. If you have a question, today is the day to call in. We have Dr. Umat here, as well as Dr. Pentland. Here is that number to call, 206-421-5757. Taking a quick break, and we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
So man, want snow for Christmas.
Do you?
I love snow. Yeah. Just a dusting would be perfect. Thank you.
I was going to say, be careful what you wish for.
I know.
And if I get snowed in, it's okay. Just not on Saturdays when I need to be here. So.
Well, we're not going to be here the next two Saturdays.
That's true. So we can get snowed in, and that would be fine. All right. Let's finish up our conversation with Shelley about the hormones and resveratrol.
Right. So, Shelley, resveratrol, as you know, is the extract of the skin of red grapes, and it has many health benefits. Obviously, you can't drink enough wine to get it, so people resort to the supplement, and that is a smart thing to do. But in our clinic, it is 350 milligrams per capsule, and I've never gone higher than four capsule a day for my patients. And I think the reason is the risk for side effects, because too much resveratrol can cause diarrhea. So you do want to be careful that you're not using too much. But are you reading something differently?
No, I'm just gathering information. I have been taking 1,000 once a day, and because I was following the direction of I can't remember the guy's name that used to be the announcer there.
Oh, Pete Talbot.
That's what they talked about then.
Pete Talbot. Yeah.
Pardon me.
Pete Talbot.
Yep. 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 I bet that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm taking two. What are the side effects of too much besides diarrhea?
Diarrhea is the most common one that I've heard of. Honestly, I have not heard of many other things than that. That, you know, loose stool is really always a risk factor. Hey, Dr. Pentland, do you know of anything else?
No, unless there's cramping along with that, you might, you know, cause a stomach ache.
GI stomach right. cramping. Okay, mm-hmm. Diarrhea and stomach cramping is all that we can think of.
Well, I guess I lucked out because I don't have any of that.
Good, good. That's most good. People as they get older tend to be a little constipated anyways. So, yeah. Right?
Oh, God. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Shelley. All the best and happy holidays.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
I made her laugh. I'm so proud of myself.
Yes, you did. Very good. All right. We are headed over to Dan. Welcome to the show, Dan. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Yes.
Hello. I got rid of my garbage phone and I got a new one so you could hear me.
Wonderful.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm not going to bore you with my health, but let's just say I was 600 pounds, blood sugar around 600, legs like fire hydrants, and now I'm 365, and things are much better. No more diabetes and that. I found all the cures for that, but my feet tingle, and they feel cold, but they're not, okay? So for the past 2 years, I've been going against medical advice. I've been consuming various liquids and foods at night, And other than the tart cherry juice, which is incredibly good, and the grape juice, the one thing that really stops this, not just the Welch's gummy bears, but regular gummy bears. And my question is, why is this? Is my heart being lazy? Is the gummy bears raising my blood pressure, making my circulation better? What the heck's going on?
Well, first of all, congratulations on your success.
Yes, wonderful.
What you just said is not easy to do, but well done. And I'm glad that you are noticing the positive benefits of weight loss, because it is really very important.
Well, I'm on the BARF diet, the biologically active raw food. Anything with the ingredient labels, toxic, I learned that. And that's why I've lost all the weight. But this foot neuropathy or tingling or whatever the doctors want to call it, is the only thing that I'm still having an issue with. And don't get me wrong, my legs were so big, you could push on the skin anywhere, and they would literally cry. And I still have a lot of the discoloration on my ankles, you know. They look kind of like rusted blood. You know, they say that's from blood sitting in the ankles and not getting shoved back up the legs.
Right.
But a lot of that's going away, but this darn tingling is bothering me.
Right. So you've reversed your diabetes, but maybe the impact of the diabetes is still lingering on the peripheral nerves and vessels. Remember, they are the last ones that recover and respond well. You know, I find that magnesium really helps reduce nerve pain. Are you on any magnesium at all?
I will be as soon as I hang up.
Okay. And I also find that when people have lost so much weight, sometimes they do develop nutritional depletions. And we don't really measure for those, except we give you a little bit of vitamin B12 to cover up for it, maybe make sure your vitamin D is adequate. But you can request a micronutrient analysis to look at your nutritional levels of many different vitamins, and that can then guide therapy. But if you were to just want to cover something basic and say, I can't do the blood test, I just want something good, then I would say make a habit of taking a good multivitamin. And one capsule or one pill doesn't really cover enough nutrients in it. And then for the peripheral neuropathy, magnesium has always been my go-to, either as an oral pill or even as a magnesium oil. Sometimes that will help, also applying right to the feet.
Well, and I'm already on the B12, but I've heard about your complete blood test. And that, I believe that was, what, $395? I got to shovel up.
It's $600, and it does not include the micronutrient test. That is a specialty test. And then we can do it, but not as part of the original panel. We do it once you become a patient, and then you can have it done more frequently depending upon what type of a program you're in.
Okay.
Our platinum patients
pay
a little bit extra. I'm sorry?
How patient do I have to be? How much of my cash am I going to have to spend to get my micronutrient level?
So if you call the clinic, lmclinic.com, they can give you the details of what a membership is like. The $595 gets you a regular blood panel with all of our emphasis on hormones. We look at in-depth at a lot of different hormones. We look at CBC, CMP, thyroid function, and we will check your vitamin D and vitamin B12 levels. We will check your inflammation markers. And then you will be able to visit with a doctor for 1 hour to go over your test results and to tell you what they find in that result. If there's anything special...
That's a part of the $500, right?
That is all part of the $595, so
$600. Well, that seems an intelligent thing to do anyway. That's kind of like the basic oil test for a car, you know, to find out which metals are wearing. So it seems to make sense.
I completely agree with you. I think it's smart for everybody to do that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me, too.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, other than the magnesium and the B12, what else?
Well, you were saying something about these continuing neuropathy symptoms. And one of the things I was wondering, it might be an odd question, but if you're measuring the pH of the urine,
No. Who measures pH of urine, Dr. Pentland? Come on.
Well, some people...
I haven't, but that's a great idea. I can get fish water test strips, and I can do that.
Yes, because it's the interesting thing, you know, normally our blood is just over 7 pH.
Yeah.
But the kidneys, you know, anything over or lower than 5.0, they can't filter without damage. And, okay. You know, if you think about, and not that you do this anymore, but if you have a can of cola, that's like 2.8 to 3.2 on the pH scale. And remember, pH is logarithmic, so 2 is 10 times more acidic than 3. So a cola is like 100 times more than the kidney can tolerate safely. And so, you know, measuring the urine pH can help improve kidney health and blood pH stress, and your electrolyte levels will balance better.
We got to take a break. Yeah, but hang on there. We'll come back and we'll finish up, okay?
Yep. Stay there, Dan. Taking a quick break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Okay, so name that tune, Dr. Ken.
You know, I was just saying that music, singing, a dance, they are such graceful art.
Oh, yes.
Just admire people who are so gifted in that. Wish I had some of it, but I don't.
And there's actually studies that show that singing improves symptoms of obstructive sleep apnea.
Oh, wow.
That tonifies the pharynx muscles.
Oh, because of that controlled breathing, perhaps. Maybe that helps. Whatever he said, I'm not sure, because that was doctor speak. You want to sleep better? Sing. That's what I heard. Okay, Dan, let's continue talking with Dan from Graham on Leading Edge Medicine.
Yeah, we were talking about peripheral neuropathy symptoms and the pain in the legs, and magnesium was something else.
Magnesium.
And electrolyte measuring nutrient levels and knowing where you are at. And then sometimes muscle cramping. He didn't say muscle cramping. Dan, you said more pain from the peripheral neuropathy. I do find that people who are on diuretic medications tend to deplete potassium a lot. And so if potassium is depleted, then potassium sparing drinks are like something like coconut water, for example. I don't know how much sugar he can have given that past history of diabetes, but that might be helpful as well.
I'm using a lot of coconut water at night.
Sorry, what was that, Dan?
I've used a lot of coconut water at night. I don't usually drink it. I keep scientific track. Everything goes in my body. Coconut water kind of gets a little bit old. But back to the pH, you know, a car's battery has to be at a certain pH to make electricity, and our body is basically a battery, and you're saying 7. So is 7 the optimum pH for the body and keeping my brain battery where it's supposed to be?
That's a good question. So when we talk about pH for the body, we got to remember the body's in different compartments. So pH in the blood versus pH in the stomach is very different. pH in the blood is supposed to be a little over 4. And then as you sort of make stomach acid, the alkaline elements end up being shunted into the blood to keep the blood more alkaline. Our normal metabolic processes tend to make us slightly acidic, but our lifestyles tend to exacerbate that and cause what's called metabolic acidosis oftentimes. And diabetes patients are more prone to that because of an excess of sugar in the blood, which tends to be acidifying. So paying attention to the pH of the urine is one thing you can do to help that. And the nervous system, remember, is a electronic system, and that involves ion transfer, you know, so we're talking about electrolytes and pH balance there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, that gives me an idea, but 7's what I'm after in the urine.
I think actually, somewhere between 6 and 8 is, I think, for the urine.
And I stick my finger with a sewing needle, it should run around 4.
Oh, 7.4 for the blood.
7.4 for the blood and 7 for the urine. Okay.
Yeah, something
that's
like
good.
That.
No, that's important for me to know. Unfortunately, I did have stomach sleeving, and they got rid of a lot of my stomach. And I do know that there is nutritional deficiencies that are existing in my life. And I really think there is also acid deficiencies. So it's something I want to start to monitor.
Sure.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Dan.
Good luck, Dan.
Yes, you have a beautiful day. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You too. Merry Christmas. Wonderful. Bye. We're taking your phone calls. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and here is that number to call in so that you can talk with Dr. Pentland or Dr. Umet or both. 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also, I gave the wrong phone number. That's for our, for our radio show today. It's 206. This is why I write them down. 206-421-5757 to get on and ask your questions to the doctors. 206-421-5757. We're headed to Seattle. We have Kate on the line. Hi there, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, what can an individual do to take or to do to clean up your kidneys and liver and to keep them healthy as we get older because they don't work as well?
Interesting. So is there something specific going on with the kidneys or liver, or is it just kind of general maintenance?
Just kind of general. My numbers are kind of goofy, but I'm also in a wheelchair, and so they keep saying no big deal. But I know my brother has had some kidney issues, and so I'm a little concerned seeing that, you know, he's my brother.
Are we talking about
maybe there's something
stones?
In our DNA? So I was just wondering, are there supplements to kind of make sure that your kidneys are working properly, other than taking, I'm sure, a lot of water.
Right, I was going to say the most important supplement there is water. And a lot of people don't pay enough attention to that. I always tell patients, 64 ounces minimum for anybody, of kind of close to maybe 120 to 100 and up to 200 pounds body weight. But ideally, you'd get something close to a third or half your body weight in ounces of water per day, which can be difficult but unless you're being deliberate about it. The other thing, and we talked about this on the last call, is managing pH and, how acidifying the diet is. And then, we mentioned this a little bit in a previous call, is fasting occasionally. Right, giving the liver a rest. Patients who tend to be prone to fatty liver oftentimes have a diet that's more acidifying and have a higher toxic burden, and the liver just kind of puts it away. So fasting or intermittent fasting occasionally can help reduce that. And then making sure if you are prone to kidney stones or have a history of that, there are dietary factors you want to avoid, like, things that are high in oxalates. So pH, hydration, oxalates, and then anti-inflammatories like fish oil, for example, or antioxidants like NAC for liver support are going to be central to keeping those things from excessive damage from free radicals.
Well, are there any supplements other than the fish? You suggested fish oil. I do take that.
There's a whole host of anti-inflammatory supplements, and I would tailor that to the individual usually. Like, for example, if they have joint pain, turmeric is both good for liver but also for joint pain. Or for if they had higher blood sugar, I would use alpha-lipoic acid, which is very good for regulating blood sugar but also with a universal antioxidant. So sometimes just a vitamin C is needed if the person wants to support their connective tissue and skin health, but also have antioxidant support. Vitamin C is great for both of those things. So just kind of tailor it to the patient.
Yeah. For kidney and liver, we do measure it, and I'm sure your doctors are measuring it too. I think it's a special consideration in your case where you mentioned that you're in a wheelchair. So I would like to know that metabolic profile a little bit better. What I would suggest to you is that you limit your intake of animal protein. When you are trying to protect damage to the kidneys, you don't want to eat excessive amounts of protein that the kidneys cannot handle. And with you being in a wheelchair, that might be something of significance. You want to hydrate well, as Dr. Pentland mentioned. If you do tend to smoke or drink alcohol, you want to avoid that. And then be careful about all the medications that you are given, even things over the counter like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Aleve and Advil. They can damage the kidneys and can affect you adversely. So avoid damaging things like Aleve and Advil. You can use some Tylenol if you're in pain, but then watch the liver. And if you are needing some Tylenol, I would say add some milk thistle with it to make sure that the liver is good. And I would also add NAC with that. So be careful about your diet.
Add what?
Make sure NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
It's easier to remember the NAC.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I pretty much only eat one meal a day.
Okay.
I'm sure that's considered fasting. And they're small. You know, I'm old. So I don't require a whole lot of food. Is that something that should keep my liver and kidneys in good shape? Or is that...
Let's talk about that when we return. So, Kate, hang on the line. We will take a quick little break here, and then we will return with hour number two on Leading Edge Medicine. And I'm going to give that phone number for others to get into the call queue. We've got room for you and your questions at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Kate, stay right there. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.